have a question for you. I've already prayed, so I'm not going to pray again. Where is your trust? One of the things that I have been noticing, and if I've had this conversation with anyone in here, I'm not talking about you, I'm not disparaging you. We're just showing, giving the people an illustration, because most people are guilty of this. We get a cold, or we get the sniffles, and we don't call down heaven and earth to have it go away. We'll take some vitamin C, right? Drink some echinacea tea. Everybody has their own ways of dealing with it. Some, you know, my aunt is like, get some lemon as hot as you can. And just sip it slowly, you know, because you got to break that phlegm and stuff up, you know. And some will do it. Why? Because my aunt said so. Or this one said so. But then when it gets to the flu, we still don't get upset. You know why? There's a vaccine for the flu. So I'll go get my flu shot. No big deal. We don't even take a day off of work. We just go because the doctor's going to give me a flu shot, and that's going to take care of the problem. And we're fine with that, and it's so natural. And I'm not saying that it's wrong. But now when it gets to the point and the doctor says, this is critical, now you start the prayer chain. Now you start calling. Now the desperation comes. Now you're doing SOS, SOS, SOS. Why? What did the doctor say? Oh, no, I need God. You needed God when it was the sniffles. Or the other thing that happens, like I said, I'm guilty of it. Doctor will say, you have this condition, and it's serious, or it can be serious. But, we caught yours in time. And you go, oh, thank you, doctor. Thank you, doctor. You know, when we first got it, our thought was, I got to call Deacon so-and-so. I got to call the elders. I have to let the pastors know. It's not that bad. 97% of people recover from this with no problem. Oh, okay. Well, guess who we call? Nobody. Nobody. Why? Because we're comfortable with that. We trust that we're not going to be in that 3%. We trust that we're going to be in that 97%. Forgetting that if we trust God, we'll be in the 100%. Why did I say that? I'm going to show you that in a minute. Would you go with me, please, to Proverbs 3. I didn't forget 1 Peter 2, but I'm just going where he tells me to go. King James Version, starting with verse 5 in Proverbs 3. I'm sorry, I probably sent you 356, but it's 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in who?
The Lord.
How? With all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Well, if you're going to do that, it'd be a good idea to know what he's talking about. Trust in general, trust, just it means, according to dictionary.com, reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety, etc. of a person or a thing. It's confidence. It's a confident expectation of something. It's hope. In used in the scripture, it means to have confidence to be confident, to be bold, to be secure. So the question then is, what should be the source of our trust? Well, that's where the scripture kicks in. It says, with all trust in the Lord. He should be the source of our trust. And the scripture tells us two things. It tells us who to trust and how to trust. Trust in the Lord, how? With all your heart. With all your heart. That's important. Because it says, lean not unto thy own understanding. And a lot of us are some pretty good leaners. Because we got it all figured out. We Googled it. We watched the YouTube videos about it. We talked to people on Instagram and Facebook. And we trust what we see on those mediums. But the Bible doesn't say trust social media. The Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. Everything that you allow into your heart will have an impact on who you are. It'll have an impact on how you trust, on who you trust. And I can say that based on Proverbs 4:23. Would you turn there, please? It's in the Passion Translation. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost beings, for from there flows the wellspring of life. So that means how and who and when you trust is going to be determined by what you allow your heart to embrace. If you allow your heart to embrace fear, you're going to trust the fear. How do you trust fear? You let it have its way. You let it have its way. If you have a need and you embrace gambling, you're not going to believe God's going to deliver you. You're going to go to the racetrack or the casino, trusting, you know, that you're going to win big in the slots, or your horses come in, are going to come in, or something. But if that's what you embrace, that's what you're going to trust. And you're going to be smacked in the face by reality as you leave broken, busted, and disgusted. And you will. Because you didn't put your trust in God. The Amplified Bible for Proverbs 3 says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Insight is perception. It's your ability to shed light on an area or see into a situation. It's whose ability? Yours. Like we can see every aspect of everything. I can't think of, maybe you can, but I can't think of a thing that I can see every aspect of it. I can't think of. If I look at this card, I can't see every aspect of it because I can't see what's in the fibers. I can't see it. If I'm allergic to something in this card, I wouldn't know it because I'd look at it and like, looks like just any other card, and then all of a sudden I break out in hives. That's not going to happen in Jesus' name, but I'm just using it as an example because it's my perception. It says, in all your ways, recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight your path. He will. Proverbs, going back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord completely, and do not rely on your own opinions. And everybody said, amen. When you're see, this is what we have to understand. When we're trusting the Lord with all of our heart, guess what we don't have? An opinion. If I have in my own opinion, I'm not trusting the Lord. I'm not. It's almost to the point if someone says, in my opinion, I want to say, stop. I don't want to hear your opinion. I have an opinion also. What does God say? That's what I want. I don't want your perception. I don't want your insight because it's all limited. I want God's. Say, I want God's. Okay. See, here's why opinions are so dangerous. By definition, an opinion is a belief or judgment, listen, that rests on grounds insufficient to produce complete certainty. It means you can't prove it so, you just believe it so. You can't prove it's true, but you choose to believe it and trust it anyway. My baby sis was telling me about a minister, and I had to calm her down. She's excitable. About a minister that said, when I get a word from God and give it to you, you may decide to do it. But if I have a vision, you can put your life on it. That's what this person, according to my baby sis, that's what they said. I said, I don't want to know who it is because then I have to repent. You know, I said, she said, what do I do about this? I said, nothing. Leave it alone. Pray that the eyes of their understanding are enlightened, that they'll know the truth, and move on. Don't get into conversations talking about them because you'll be just as wrong as you think they are. But that's an opinion is a personal view, attitude, or appraisal. It is not necessarily a fact, or even better, it's not necessarily the truth. It's an opinion. But we will take opinions and put our trust in the opinions. That's why I like reading verses in different translations, because I get a fuller understanding of what it means. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. And then you'll find that every decision you make will be the right one. And of course, I'm sharing this because I'm going under the assumption that you want to make right decisions. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
See, we're going to now. Since we want to make right decisions, right choices, we want our trust in the right place. We don't want to make any choices, or we don't want to trust based on any opinions or any insight that we've developed over the years. That means there's some things that we've heard over the years we're going to have to let go. I know Grandma said it, and she said it meaning well. Doesn't line up with the scripture. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. I don't care if Bishop so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, Elder so-and-so, whoever said it years ago. If it does not line up, let it go. Don't put your trust in it. Pastor Clinton used to tell us all the time, don't trust us. He'd say, if I say it, you go look it up and see it for yourself. He said, because we're not God. I'm not God. And I'm glad I'm not God. Okay. So you're going to have to reject some thoughts. We're going to have to reject some attitudes that we've developed through the years and make ourselves trust only on what God says. Remember what Jesus said in John, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. We want to place our trust on what Jesus speaks to us. 1 Corinthians 2. First five verses. The Apostle Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith or your trust should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." What we trust in should not be based on the wisdom of men. It should be the power of God. 4 years. Yeah, this may hurt. I don't have any ice packs for your toes. Just believe God for your healing. But for years, we've been trying to, our faith and trust were trying to be obtained by prosperity. We were believing for things. If we don't get it, our faith is shattered. If we get it, we're just soaring high. And sometimes we got it, not because we were believing God, but because we had good credit rating. And we go out and finance and say, "God, just bless me with the car." What do you do? But that's what we say. But Paul said that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what he said. So you think about the Great Commission. These signs shall follow them that believe. And all of the signs that followed were power signs. You'll speak in other tongues. You'll pick up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. You'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Where in there does it say you're going to get a new car? Where are you putting your trust? We have to understand what it is. Someone said God is changing the culture of the church from prosperity to power. It was never supposed to be a culture of prosperity. It was always about the power of God. The words were confirmed. The words that were spoken were confirmed with signs following them. They healed the sick. They healed the brokenhearted. They demonstrated the power of God, and that caused people to trust them and to trust God because they saw demonstrations of power, real demonstrations. They talked about it, then they demonstrated it. The lame man at the Gate Beautiful was not moved by prosperity. And Peter and John, they said to him, "We're not prosperous." He said, "Silver and gold, we don't have any. But what I do have, I give to you." We don't trust in silver and gold, but what we trust in, we're giving to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man received what they said, put his trust in what they said because it was backed up with power, and he got up and walked. He got up and walked. It's never... You write this down, please. It's never about the circumstance. It's always about your trust in the power of God. It's never about the circumstance. It's always about your trust in the power of God. Always. The Passion Translation in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, "For God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power." Now, I started out talking to you about, you know, when you catch a cold and or receive a report, and, you know, when we have a serious disease, then we think we have to go to God. But when we decide that it's no big deal, we don't even pray about it. We don't even speak to it. We pop a Tylenol. I have a headache. Honey, where's the Tylenol? Not, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed of whatever is causing this headache, and I speak to it in the name of Jesus. And demand that you leave now in Jesus' name. Or I call someone up. Say, brother, get in agreement with me, you know, that this headache leaves. No, just take Tylenol. and brag about it. How you doing? Well, I had a pounding headache, but I took two Tylenol, I feel fine now. My trust is in the wisdom of men. What a lot of people don't know, too much Tylenol will do damage to your liver. I'm not saying, and don't say, Pastor Greg said, don't take Tylenol. Don't put your trust in that, because that's based on your opinion that that's what you need. You go to God. What am I supposed to do about this headache? He may tell you, go to the room, close your eyes, pray in the Holy Spirit for 15 minutes. Yeah, he might say, drink some water. But your trust is in what he said, not what they say. I don't want to get started about the they-sayers. Okay? And as I said earlier, doctor will tell you, don't worry about it. 97% of the people get healed for this. What about the 3% that don't? I was thinking about something. I was wondering why we're saving are trusting for what we think is the big stuff. And then I started thinking about something we just taught on a few Sundays ago in John 11 about Lazarus. We're going at it from a different angle, so to speak. But I was thinking about it, and this is what came into my thinking. When you read the scriptures, you know, a lot of the translations say Lazarus was sick. Passion Translation says one day Lazarus became very sick to the point of death. You're probably saying, what's the difference? When Lazarus got sick, they didn't send for Jesus. They sent for Jesus when he was sick unto death. Why didn't they send for him? Achoo, go get Jesus. Go get Jesus, we're not having this. Let him know that Lazarus is sick and let him come. The reason I can accept that is because why would Jesus say, they say, Lazarus is sick. Oh, this sickness isn't unto death. Why did that come into his thinking? If someone didn't say, Lazarus is at the brink. And he still waited 2 days. Why? because he was going with the wisdom of his father. Because he said, I only do those things my father tells me to do. I only say those things my father tells me to say. So his father told him to stay there for 2 days. And he said, this sickness is not unto death. Period. But Martha and Mary, they didn't know that. All they knew was that Lazarus was sick. Now, why is that important? Look at James 5. We talk about where we're going to place our trust. James 5, King James Version, starting at verse 13. Says, is there any sick? Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. He said, he didn't say, is there anyone sick with a terminal disease? Said, is there any sick among you? It's at times, you know, the healing anointing will manifest itself. So if there's anything that's not functioning in your body, come. And people will say, tell me, well, I didn't come because I believe I'm healed already. The word of God said, is there any sick among you? Didn't say if there are any, you have a terminal disease, you have a serious condition. Said, if there are any. So that means if you're experiencing anything, let the elders pray over you. And the prayer of faith will save you, and the Lord will raise you up. It says, any sickness. Any means unspecified. It means anyone, anybody, whomever. Without specification, doesn't matter how sick someone was or is, the question posed, is there any? Didn't say if you have symptoms and you've decided not to receive them. Where is your trust? Is it in God? Yes. So when the word comes from God, is there any sick among you? Come, get up out of your seat. And come, because you're trusting God, period. You don't say, oh, it's only a cold. I'll get some echinacea. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them. That sounds a lot like Psalm 103. Because to let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth. He didn't say I'll heal 97% of them. He said all of them. All of them. When you look at today's climate, some trust in President Bush, or President Trump. Some trust in former Senator Biden. The future of the nation lies in their hands. No, it does not. See, that's an opinion that can't be backed up with truth. We need to understand that the answer to the solution has already been forecasted. Amen. The church was given the authority to bring the earth under control. The church was given the absolute power over all the power of the enemy. The church, not the Republican Party, not the Democratic Party, the church was. The church was given the keys to the kingdom and has the right to bind and loose. So why are we celebrating what we think people will do when we're the children of the Most High God and he's already told us what we can do? So what's the source of your trust? Is it in man's wisdom or is it in the power of God? I'm strongly recommending you let it be in the power of God. Because Psalm 20 says, and I'm going to read it in a couple of translations, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The Passion says, some find their strength in their weapons and wisdom, but my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in the Lord who makes us strong and gives us victory. Our trust is in the Lord. You can trust in horses and chariots if you want to. Chariots get rusty. Horses pull up lame. But the word of God stands forever throughout eternity. Where is your trust? And if your trust is misplaced, fix it. Fix it. Stop putting your trust in people and put it in the Lord. Stop putting it in things and put it in the Lord. Let go of your opinions and stick with the word. Father, thank you. We give you alone all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Father, for what you had to share to us this morning. Thank you, Father, for making it easy to understand and easier, even easier to swallow. We want to put all of our trust in you, 100% of our trust, 100% of the time. You are the only one who knows everything there is to know about everything. You are the only one with the purpose and plan for our lives. So you should be the only one we go to when we need direction as to what to do with our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you even gave us instructions. Stop trying to figure out when we should go to you for healing and when we shouldn't. You said if there's any sick, so anything that comes up, that attacks our bodies, no matter how small or light or big and strong it may think it is, your wisdom will prevail. All we need to do is ask you and do what you say. So we give you all glory, honor, and praise, Lord, as the Holy Ghost reveals more and more and more about what you talked to us about this morning throughout the coming days and weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.